Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're in New York City for the latest leg of the exhibition of Annie Leibovitz's Women, New Portraits. Annie's most enduringly popular series of photographs, Women, was published back in 1999. The show, on which UBS's commissioning partner, reflects the changes in the roles of women today. Through 2016, alongside the touring show, UBS has been presenting Women for Women, a programme of talks addressing topics of global relevance to women's rights. This show stopped off in San Francisco back in the spring for the launch. If you listen then, you'll know that the conversations feature both Annie Leibovitz herself, alongside pioneering campaigner Gloria Steinem and others. For this New York instalment, we'll hear from these two extraordinary women once again as they chart the global movement towards equality over the past 50 years. And of course, in this latest iteration, there was another development that shaped not only the hang of this particular leg of the exhibition, but also the tone and direction of debate, the election of Donald Trump as the next president of the United States. We start, though, with Marcia Askins, Chief Communications Officer for UBS America, who takes up the origin story of this project and the collaboration with Annie Leibovitz and Gloria Steinem.
As part of our commission of this new body of work, this exhibition is on a 10-city global tour. So far, we've been to 9 cities across 3 continents, including stops in San Francisco and Mexico City. Today marks the 7th talk in our global series, which has addressed themes such as education, women's health, abuse and domestic violence, economic independence, and the representation of women in the media.
Next to Annie Leibovitz herself, who talked a bit more about the hang of this installment and how recent events in the US maybe shaped or reshaped her thinking.
So yesterday I was in this room and I was desperately trying to hang the show. You know, where do I put Hillary Clinton? Over there? No, I mean, I can't put her next to Marina Abramowitz because Marina's not wearing too many clothes. You know, and like, and then I don't know about, you know, like the Williams sisters. I don't want it to look like, you know, something else. And I, you know, everything, because they really are sisters to each other and they sort of bounce off each other. And, you know, and then I literally, if you saw this wall yesterday, we were, and I moved Gloria, you know, Gloria in the dark cave here in her office next to Hillary Clinton. I found this picture of Hillary. You should know, the Secretary Clinton was not on this wall until this show. And of course I'm looking forward, and I'm still looking forward to doing a portrait with Secretary Clinton. You know, I still want to take a more updated portrait. I did go on the road and I tried to take campaign pictures and I was pretty bad at it. You know, it was like stumbling along, tripping. I do have a few pictures on this set of screens over here. I was looking at this, sitting with her as Secretary of State, and on her desk is a tile. And I told my retoucher, I said, would you please sharpen that tile? It says, never, never, never give up. And I just, you know, once again, I'm not trying to showcase Hillary Clinton, but it was the first time I folded her into the sea, into the ocean of women who mean something to us collectively today. And that is really what this update of the Women's Project is.
And questioned on fears around what a Trump success means for various social justice movements, Gloria Steinem shared her insights too.
2 million more people voted for Hillary Clinton then voted for Trump. We should remember that. And it's also true that all of the issues that we consider human rights issues have majority support in all of our public opinion polls. So in some sense, it is the success of all the social justice movements that have in part caused a backlash against the change, against the fact that in very short order, this country is going to no longer be a majority white or European American country. The first generation of majority babies of color has already been born. And there are people who were born into, through no fault of theirs, an idea of a racial hierarchy that are in backlash against this. It's more complicated than that. There's economic deprivation. You know, we understand it's it is more complex than that. But I think that what has been revealed to us is a truth that we must now deal with. Never again is anybody going to say post-feminist or post-racist, because we understand that there is something like a third of the country that is still locked into these old hierarchies.
Monocle's Megan Billings was at the event, and she caught up with Gloria again later to learn more. In particular, we were curious to know, after so long with the women's equality movement, did Hillary Clinton's loss to Donald Trump feel like a defeat?
It was not a defeat in the popular vote, which she won by 2 million. It was not a defeat on the issues, which are majority issues in all the public opinion polls. It was a massive backlash against the progress of the social justice movements to some extent, and also just change for the sake of change. But we must remember, it doesn't represent most Americans. So we have more support than Trump.
And let's hear more from Gloria Steinem next, bringing it back to this exhibition and this space, which focuses very much on the power of women in their element. Remember that the site of this show is the former Bayview Correctional Facility for Women, closed by New York Governor Cuomo, and the future home of the Women's Building. Women are the developers, the electricians, the welders on the project, and all the on-site trainees learning these trades will be women too. Everything about it is set to be transformational. So what did Gloria make of it, and the broader theme of women in their element?
It's an exhibit that will have been in 11 countries all around the world. This is the next to the last, so it was coming anyway. It has special meaning because it coincided with our ability to have this former women's prison and use this space, and also the election. It's kind of a harmonic convergence that all these things unexpectedly came together. But it was kind of meant to be, I think.
Gloria Steinem there. Still to come on The Bulletin with UBS, we'll hear from some more of the special guests at the event, including a leading activist for girls' education, as well as the head of a UBS foundation dedicated to improving the lives of children. Next on the programme to Phyllis Costanza, who heads the UBS Optimus Foundation. The foundation is a unique offering in the financial community, and here's Phyllis to explain why.
Well, UBS Optimus Foundation is dedicated to improving the lives of children, and in order to improve the lives of children, we have to improve the lives of their parents, and most of the time, that's their mother. And it's really a natural fit for UBS because, number one, we want to help our clients do smart philanthropy, and 90% of our clients are interested in supporting programs to improve the world. And it's also a natural relationship for UBS to be empowering women because we are very committed to improving the number of women working in sectors like the finance industry that have traditionally not had many women represented.
Why does UBS have such a good grounding in this space?
We take the same approach that UBS takes towards financial investments to our philanthropy. So we have to know what the cost is to deliver services. We have to know what the impact is and what you're buying for that money and what the social return on investment is. That's critical for us. And it really should be critical for everybody in the sector. We want to try to promote this concept that we have to care about these outcomes because it's not, quote, a gift that we're giving. It's really an investment in children's lives and women's lives.
And what do Phyllis and her colleagues see as a result on the client side?
It's interesting. We're seeing that the UBS clients who are most interested in the foundation want to have an impact. Impact is very important to them. And while it may sound obvious to us, it's not that obvious. We know right now that only 20% of our clients are satisfied that their philanthropic giving is making an impact. So there's a huge amount of potential to help bring new and better money to the sector. So the kinds of clients that we're seeing engaged in Optimus are those clients where impact is front and center for them.
In New York City at this event, we also saw the launch of the Global Giving Campaign. Phyllis Costanza again takes up the story.
So today we're launching a very innovative program. It's called the Global Giving Campaign, and we've modeled it after a financial product. So it looks like a private equity fund, and the goal of it is to bring healthcare to some of the most underserved areas. Right now, more than 1 billion people have no access to healthcare for their entire lifetime, and more than 6 million children are dying every single year of causes that are totally preventable. So we have pulled together a group of grantees, so a group of programs that we think are most impactful in addressing that problem, and clients invest into that portfolio. And like an investment fund, the risk is mitigated because we've got a diversified set of programs that clients are funding, and their donation is doubled because everybody who's partnering with us has committed to find match money for every single dollar that comes in from one of our clients. And on top of that, UBS Optimist Foundation and UBS are co-investing alongside with our clients. So we believe in this 100%, that this is a great model for improving the lives of children.
Next on the program, let's learn more about the foundation's work and indeed more about the world's first development impact bond. The DIB is funding a 3-year program implemented by award-winning Indian NGO Educate Girls. Here's a Q&A with another guest at the New York event, Safina Hussain, executive director of Educate Girls. She began by explaining more about how her program was devised and how it works.
Educate Girls is a small nonprofit working in critical gender gap districts in India. And we go door to door to find every girl who's out of school, bring her into the school system, make sure she's staying in school, is retained, and learning.
Safina Hussain herself began the program. How did she find the necessary inspiration?
I think working on gender really comes from my own experience of growing up as a girl in India. And my own experience with patriarchy, where you're told you can't do this and you can't do that, and if somebody Eve teased you on the road, it must be your fault and you should have looked down and, you know, you must have been looking at the boy. There's so many things that you face day to day. And I grew up believing that's how it is because everybody says this is how the world is. But I had the opportunity to actually go for education to LSE and come back, and I kind of realized that this is not how the way, you know, that the world needs to be. And I think that was really at the core of it, because I sort of really felt like I needed to challenge that norm.
And how does she go about convincing parents to let their daughters go to school?
First and foremost, what that involves is a village-level volunteer, a champion that we create for girls' education. And that's really important because you and I, Megan, going and talking to parents is not going to change their mindset. But it has to be somebody they know, they believe in, who has to give them this message and deliver this message. But basically, our team Balikas then sit down with parents and really talk to them why girls' education is important, how it is her right, how it is the law for every child between the ages of 6 to 14 to be in school. And we sort of build that conversation. But it takes a long time. It can take weeks, months, sometimes even 2 to 3 years to actually be able to convince parents to change their mind for girls who are not going to school.
What effects does Safina see both on the girls themselves and more broadly on the volunteers and on communities?
Our girls are still young for us to see very big movements right now, but the fact is that they're staying in school. We have a 95% retention rate of girls who we've brought back in. So we're seeing that change happen for them. But even on our volunteer side, what the big changes we're seeing is that many of our volunteers are standing for local village elections and are winning. So you suddenly have a 23, 24-year-old girl who's educated, who's now becoming a village leader. And that's what I think over the long term is going to bring about the change, is to have these highly talented, passionate people who believe in equity to be part of the system.
Now, there are not just girls involved in the program, but men and boys too. How does this work?
So when we started our recruitment drives and we said we wanted volunteers to come and work for girls' education, we were really surprised that a lot of young men were coming forward. And we always sort of pushed back on that, thinking maybe we only need girls, you know, maybe it should be 100% girl volunteers. But really, my first meeting that I saw a young boy who's 19, 20 years old stand up in his village and say, I believe that every single girl in my village needs to go to school, it was just so incredibly powerful. And it was sort of a slap in my face when I realized that equity is for both men and women to stand together and ask for it. And so it's phenomenal that right now, in these critical gender gap villages where patriarchy is so strong, that we have these amazing young men who want to stand side by side with us and work for girls' education and be champions.
And that's Safina Hussain with the last of a great number of inspirational words on this 114th edition of The Bulletin with UBS. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or via your usual podcast platform. Meanwhile, don't miss the final stop for Women New Portraits. It will be in Zurich, opening on the 28th of January 2017 at EWZ Unterwerk Selnau, an old transformer station in the heart of Zurich. For more information, head to ubs.com/Annie Leibovitz. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.